Well, good morning. How many of y'all are familiar with the Harlem Shake? I hope you're all right to do the little Harlem Shake this morning. Yes, that is our student ministry. We did that several weeks back right here with a lot of my middle school and high school friends. And if you're in 6th through 12th grade, we invite you every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for a remix. And as you saw, we have a good time, and we love Jesus, and we love to have a little bit of fun. My name, if we haven't met, is not Pastor Rodney Gage. My name is Dustin Agard, and I'm the family pastor here, which simply means I have the honor and privilege of being able to hang out, love on, and minister to families. And so I absolutely love it here, and I'm really excited this morning because I'm in what I call big church. And it's not because I'm small, it's because I normally work with the children in the back. And so normally on Sundays, I'm back there with the little ones, and we always refer to this as big church. So welcome, big church people. Yes, I'm excited to be here. Pastor Rodney is away with his family on vacation. They're just trying to get away, get ready for Easter. He's planning, preparing. And just to state the obvious, Pastor Rodney is our pastor. Pastor Rodney is the leader of this church. And I just really feel like we as a people need to continually be praying for him, continually need to be encouraging him, loving him and his family. And so right now, before we go any further, let's just pause what we're doing before we go on, and let's just, where you're at, you can pray with me. I'm going to pray, but just be praying for our pastor this week and for the message that he's going to bring on Easter morning. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that we get to come here into a free country and worship you. God, we get to raise our hands and let it be known that we love you. And so, God, I just pray to thank you for that. I thank you for an amazing pastor and Pastor Rodney, and I just pray for Rodney and Michelle and Rebecca and Luke and Ashlyn right now. I just pray that you would bless them and give them favor and an anointing in every area of their life, that you would draw them closer to you and closer to each other on this trip. Lord, we also pray as we open up your word that you would just do heart surgery with us this morning. God, that whatever parts of our heart and mind and ears are callous, that you would soften them. Wherever there's wax build up, that you would get rid of it, that we might hear your word. And then would you give us the courage to carry out what you are calling us to do. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word, our guide. We treasure it and we love it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. All right, hey, I got a couple problems. I got a couple quirks. I normally work with kids and teenagers, so there's a little bit of feedback. 8:30 is early, and they gave me a lot of feedback, so I'm expecting bigger things from you. I don't know how it started, but just ever when I started speaking and preaching, I kind of do a thing where I say cool, and then you guys say cool back. Cool? Cool. I know that's weird. I'm weird. We just need to get past that and get on the word of God. Cool? Cool. All right. Check, make sure nobody's sleeping. All right. If you would, you could turn to your Bible in John 4. John 4. And as you're turning there, you can just kind of bookmark that. We'll get to that in a minute. Do you have any storytellers in your family? I'm a storyteller. My dad's a storyteller. His dad's a storyteller. Do we have anybody that's a storyteller in the house? Maybe you're not a storyteller. Do you know of a storyteller every Thanksgiving? You got to prepare yourself. You're going to hear the same story. You're going to run into what I like to call now as Uncle Cy, Duck Dynasty's crazy uncle that's just got all kinds of stories. How many of y'all have an Uncle Cy? Yeah, it's okay. You can be honest. This is church. Let's be real, okay? And the thing, I love hearing stories. But the problem with storytellers, including myself, is we tell stories so much, we don't know what stories we've told, and we don't know who we've told them to, and we don't keep track because storytellers aren't organized. And so we have no concept of who we said the story to, so instead of not saying the story, we just repeat it over and over and over again. So maybe your family gatherings look like this at Christmas or Thanksgiving, and you gather, and then all of a sudden, you see that crazy uncle, and you know he's going to share a story. So you're dancing around him, because you know he's got a story, and it's a 10-minute story, and you just want to get to the kitchen, but you really don't know how to get there. So finally, you just kind of, and he's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Have I told you about Nom? And of course, you heard the story 100 times, and you're like, yes. And he goes, well, excellent. Well, I got a new version. And he'll just go right into the story. Well, in our family, we love sharing stories. And my dad, growing up, he would share a story about my grandfather, Grandpa Agard. Everybody say Grandpa Agard. Grandpa Agard. We have a picture of my dad, by the way. My dad is my hero. And this is him right here with my daughter, Callie Joy. And that's a great picture because that's what my dad does. He makes people laugh and smile, and he loves people. And so that's my pops, that's my dad. And my dad loves to tell stories. And his dad, my grandpa, was crazy. Our whole family's crazy. So he's telling us a story about one day my grandpa is in a Central Florida lake, which is just muddy and seaweedy, and he's cleaning it out, right? So he's cleaning it out, and he's getting cuts and bruises. He's using a shovel, and all of a sudden, he's got blood everywhere. He's got mud. He's got seaweed. And finally, he just takes a break, and he goes in, and before he goes into the house, he just cuts a couple roses for his wife, for my grandma. And so he goes into the house, and he's looking for, and he notices that there's kind of a commotion in the front yard. And somebody came to visit our house, and he didn't really know who it was. And what had happened is 2 weeks prior to that, they bought a brand new car and paid cash for it. So there were no payments. So they paid cash for a brand new Lincoln. They bought a car, paid cash for it. Okay, well, the people that came to the house were coming to repossess it. I don't know if you know much about finances, but you don't repossess something that you paid cash for. So there's a little bit of a conflict. So the way that my grandpa likes to take care of conflict is he goes up to his bedroom and he grabs his 38. And so he gets his 38 and he's bloody, he's muddy, he's got seaweed on him. And he goes up to the gentleman and he says, hey boy. Yes, sir. He goes, you ever heard of the band Guns N' Roses? Yeah. Well, here's your roses and here's your gun. Get off my property. Stumble over each other and take off. Of course, 10 minutes later, the police come, sort everything out. It was a misunderstanding. They did pay for it. They had the paperwork wrong. But I must have heard that story 50 times. Of course, anytime I'm around my dad, something will just trigger it. Anything. It could be the radio. Oh, you ever heard of that band Guns N' Roses? Have I ever told you? No, Dad, tell me the story. How's it go? And that's what we do with storytellers. We kind of, when we hear the story that we've already heard over and over again, we kind of roll our eyes. All right, let's hear the story. And it kind of loses its meaning. Well, last week, Pastor Rodney started a series called I Dare You To... And this week, we're going to conclude it. And this is the dare. I dare you to invite somebody next week to hear the greatest story ever told. I dare you to come next week and bring somebody to hear the greatest story ever told. And the problem with that is you and I, we've heard the story. Most of the people in this room, we heard the story over and over. I get it. He loves us and he died on a cross. And I even talked to people. Have you seen The Passion of the Christ? No, I get it. You know, he loves us. He died. And it's like it loses its meaning. And if we're honest, it can do that for us seasoned believers. But I just want you to put yourself in somebody that's never heard the story before. I just want you to put yourself into somebody that goes to bed every night hopeless, joyless, confused, lost, scared because they don't know where they're going to go after they die. All those things. And then when you share with them the greatest story ever told, it's why it's called good news. Amen? That's why it's called good news. And so my prayer this morning is that we would invite people next week to hear the greatest story ever told. I want to introduce you to somebody that had an encounter to the greatest story ever told in John 4. I asked you a minute ago to turn to John 4. If you don't have a Bible, maybe you have a smartphone. Okay, if you have a smartphone, you can download an app called YouVersion. It's a completely free Bible app. And this morning, I'm just going to be teaching out of the NLT version. So if you download the app, you go to NLT. Just go to John 4. I'm going to give you permission to write in your Bible. It's okay. Some of you are a little funny about that. It's okay. Study your Bible. Read it. I hope it get into your word, okay? I'm going to ask you to underline a couple things. If you don't want to, you can take notes and underline them. If you have a phone, you could actually highlight it in YouVersion app, and it'll be phenomenal. So I'm going to ask you to follow along with that. Cool? Oh. We're going to call that strike one. Cool? You do not want to see a strikeout. It gets ugly. All right. So John 4. John 4. And by the way, you got the Old Testament. And then you got the New Testament. The Old Testament is before Jesus. Jesus comes on the scene, and then it's the New Testament. And the New Testament starts off with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it'll basically be like 1, 2, 3, 4. Those four people followed Jesus and then afterwards wrote a book about it. And so that's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's four different accounts of Jesus, his life, and his ministry. And so John is the fourth, what we call gospel. And so we're going to hang out in John. And then in John 4, verse 3 is where I'm going to pick up. You can follow along. It says this. It says, so he, and he is talking about Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus. That's my main man. I just love it. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He, meaning Jesus, had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to a Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at that time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy something. So let me set the scene up. Jesus is tired, which I think is awesome. The Bible says he was tired because he's just like you and I. He gets tired. He gets tired of things. He gets tired of situations. He's tired. And the Bible says that he came upon a well at noon, but it wasn't just a well. It was a well in Samaria. And so what we need to understand is to get from one location to another, he had to go through Samaria, but he was the only one that was a Jew and would do that because all the other Jews understood that there was 700 years of conflict and you just don't go to that area. There's hatred. You see all the hatred in the Middle East that goes on? That's the type of hatred that's happening. And in all the other Jews, they go around. They just don't deal with that. There's issues. And they go around to the other side of town. But what Jesus does, and this is why I love my man Jesus, is he goes and does whatever it takes to get to us. He doesn't care. And he goes right to the well. And he goes right to the woman. And in those times, you didn't even talk to the woman. And then he speaks to the woman. And you know what that's like because Jesus has spoken to you. And we're going to learn here in a minute that this was not just any woman, but she was an outcast. And so Jesus doesn't wait till you're cleaned up to speak to you. He speaks to you when you're an outcast. And you and I know that. That's why we're here. That's why we believe in the greatest story ever told, because we've received the greatest story ever told. Amen? Verse 9, the woman was surprised. She was surprised because everything I just said. For Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? This is where I want you to get your pen and your Bible out. In verse 9, it says, you are a Jew. And I just want you to underline the word Jew. So right now, they just meet, and to this woman, she's a Jew. Jesus is a Jew. And that's really important, because right now, to your friends, Jesus is nothing more than a Jew. You talk about Jesus, and yeah, he's just that Jewish guy, that historical figure. That's who this woman sees Jesus as. He's just a Jew. So go ahead and underline that, because God's going to do something crazy, and I love it. Continue on to verse 10. Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and for who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. Verse 11. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? In verse 11, the second word is sir. It says, but sir. Jesus met a woman at the well. And the first time that he met her, Jesus was just a Jew. And over a short period of time, Jesus went from being a Jew in verse 11 to a sir. Jesus, in her eyes, went from Jew to sir. He's beginning to gain respect with this woman. Let's continue. 13, Jesus says, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. But please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. This is where it just gets, how many of y'all like soap operas? Let's just be honest. This is where, like, soap opera started. This just gets fun. And we don't call them soap operas anymore. We call it The Bachelor. Can I get an amen? There's a walk-in prayer request. Come on. All right. All right, here we go. It says, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. Verse 17. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband. For you have had five husbands, and even right now the man you have five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You have certainly spoke the truth." All right, so I work with teenagers, okay? So I'm going to put it to you in my teenage version, okay? So we got a soap opera happen. Jesus is God. You can't trick God. And he's not saying any of this to condemn her. He just wants her to know, hey, I'm God and I know everything and I'm still speaking to you. You just need to understand that. That's a big deal. I'm not judging you. I just want you to know that I know all about you. I know your sin and I'm still speaking to you. And in a little bit, I'm going to climb up on a tree for you and it's okay. I just want you to know I know all of it and I still love you. And just in my student ministry world, this is kind of what I picture. Jesus says, hey, go and get your husband. And then that's kind of where she probably gets a little awkward. She's like, yeah, I'm not married. I'm actually kind of single, I guess. And Jesus is like, well, you've actually had five husbands. Now, divorce is extremely rare at that time. So five is like extreme outcast. It's crazy. Crazy. So it's outcast. Yeah, you had five, and the man you're with now is not even your husband. And I could just picture my middle school, high school brain that there's a middle schooler behind a tree, and when Jesus says, yeah, I know, they just pop out of a tree and go, burn! And they're like, Jesus just called you out. Oh, my goodness. And I don't know how much you know about the student ministry culture, but we love to make fun of people. Oh, my goodness. And so this woman's like that. And I just picture a middle schooler hiding somewhere, waiting for the right moment just to and call her out. And that's what takes place, minus the make fun of. Jesus could have, didn't. Jesus sees your sin. He sees my sin. Doesn't condemn us. He just wants us to know he knows. Y'all with me? He knows. Let's keep going. Verse 19. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. I want you to take your pen and underline the word prophet. So in verse 9, we underlined the word Jew. In verse 11, you underlined the word sir. And now prophet. So when the woman at the well met Jesus, Jesus was a Jew. And then Jesus became a sir. And in just a short time, now Jesus is a prophet. Was a Jew, just somebody, anybody. Now he's a prophet in just a matter of moments. Let's keep reading. Skip on down to verse 25. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. And so again, going back to our student ministry, let's get our smartphone out and let's just pretend that they take a selfie. They get their iPhone out and Jesus brings the woman at the well and they take a little selfie together. And then the woman says, yeah, when the Messiah comes, that's when I'm going to know everything. And Jesus goes, well, see that person, who's that? Well, that's me. That's the woman at the well. And then, do you know who that person is? She's like, that's you. I just don't know. And yeah, well, that person is the Messiah. That person in that picture next to you, that's the Messiah. Yeah. I'm the Messiah. So can you imagine like talking to somebody and then just, well, when the Messiah comes, it's like, well, that's me. I'm the Messiah. Now, the woman came to the well to get water, right? That's why we go to the well. She came at noon and she came by herself because that's when the outcasts go. Normally you go in the morning or at night. She came at noon with her buckets. When she found out that Jesus was the Messiah, listen to what her response was. Verse 28. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone. You see, what you need to understand is that when you make Jesus your Messiah, he changes your priorities. Let me say that again. When you make Jesus your Messiah, he changes your priorities. So maybe you're all about your work and your chores and you came to the well with water. But then you meet Jesus and all of a sudden you don't even remember the water. Again, she was a loner. She was an outcast. She came at noon by herself. And what does she do? She doesn't walk to the village. She runs to the village, the same village that everybody has outcasted her and judged her, to tell them about the Messiah, to tell them about the greatest story ever told. And she ran. That was her natural knee-jerk response, was to run. She dropped it ran. Verse 39. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." Let's put that in your context. Many people at your shop, at your business, in your neighborhood believed in Jesus because of what you told them. The greatest story ever told. Because what they experienced, Jesus. Skip on down to verse 42. The last sentence in verse 42 says this: "Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." I want you to get your pen out and underline Savior of the world. This woman started out like many of your family, friends, co-workers, people in your neighborhood as looking at Jesus as a Jew. And we're like, "No, Pastor Dustin, you don't understand. If I invite my friends to church, they don't get it. You don't understand. They just look at Jesus as a Jew." But what you need to understand is Jesus takes people that see him as a historical figure, and when they meet, he speaks to them, and then he becomes a sir, and then after a sir, he becomes a prophet, and after a prophet, just in this one story alone, we find out that he became the Savior of the world to her in a matter of moments. And I know this works because it's changed my life. I know it works because that's what happened in your life. At one point, you heard the greatest story ever told, and it changed everything. That's why you're here at church. That's why you're giving your life to this thing we call Jesus. You heard the greatest story ever told. Now imagine never being told the greatest story ever. I can't imagine my life without the gospel. I just can't. Alyssa, Amber, Andre, Ann, Blake, Blaze, Bobby, Caleb, Carrie, Catherine, Charles, Christian, Claudia, Damon, Darlene, DeAndre, Diane, Dominique, Doug, Edwin, Faith, Gabrielle, George, Izzy, Jason, Jennifer, Joe, John, Jonathan, Jordan, Jose, Joseph, Joshua, Julie, Kayleen, Caitlin, Karen, Caitlin, Kayla, Kenley, Laura, Lauren, Leanne, Levi, Liam, Lindsay, London, Madeline, Madison, Matthew, Michael, Nathaniel, Noah, Raymond, Sam, Samantha, Samira, Savannah, Sean, Sylvia, Stacy, Sean, Tamika, Taylor, Wanda, William, Yvonne. All 86 of those people 6 months ago saw Jesus as a Jew. In the past 6 months, they went from Jew to Savior of the world. 86 people from Fellowship Church gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Gave their lives to Jesus. And I can't imagine just asking any of them, has it helped? Has it changed? Were you offended when somebody invited you? Of course not. They met the Savior of the world because somebody told them the greatest story ever told. The greatest story ever told. I want to invite a friend up on stage. His name's Robert. Robert, would you please come up on stage? Would y'all give a big round of applause for Robert? Now, Robert's not in the military, so you don't need to respect him at all. He's just dressed up. He works in our children's ministry, and we're doing a military theme. You do need to respect his father, because his father is actually, it's his uniform, right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring Robert up and just get a little, real quick snippet of his story. You see, 2 years ago, I didn't know Robert. I had no idea who he was, but and last May, that completely changed. What happened in May?
Last May, May 2nd, a couple of kids that came to Remix, a student ministry, they were in one of my classes. They invited me to a big event that they have called Unite. And that day, I heard the gospel because I was sitting in the back paying attention. So, like, it's not like I was at school. But I gave my life to Christ that day. And just, it's been like a completely different life. I can't even imagine what my life would be like if I wasn't here that one day, because they invited me.
And you had friends that, I know the story, that had just plastered your room with invites, and so you had no choice but to hear about it and be invited because of some of your friends, correct?
Yeah, they just, it was everywhere. Like, there was like 32 desks, and there was about 64 cards, so.
So you hear about Invite, or you hear about Unite, they invite you, and then you start in the back, and I know because you came down here, and I remember pointing right here at you as you gave your life to Christ, and I said, are you serious? You remember that?
Yeah, I remember my answer, too.
What'd you say?
I said yes.
Yeah.
I was really nervous getting up.
So May 2nd, Robert gave his life to Christ. Isn't that awesome? Shortly after May 2nd, we go to the beach and he gets baptized and we're able to celebrate that. And I don't think, and we talked, since May 2nd of last year, Robert has not missed church one time. And he doesn't just come to one service. He comes to all three. And he comes here to one and then serves in the children's ministry in two. And I'm just watching from afar this guy get consumed with Jesus. The greatest story ever told. He's getting consumed by it. And so I approach him and I invite him into what we call our 412 crew, which is our internship program here. And so now Robert, within a year, went from never hearing the greatest story ever told to hearing it, giving his life to Christ, getting baptized, serving. Now he's an intern. And then 2 weeks later, the story kind of escalated. What happened in front of Dollar General?
2 weeks ago, after Remix, there's kids that go and they'll hang out there and wait for their rides. So that way, like, none of the church people have to wait for them. So I went, and I was sitting there, and I was talking to them, and I ended up telling them the greatest story ever. And that night, they gave both of them, one's name is Kelvin, the other one Kevin, they gave their lives to Christ, and I ended up praying with them right then and there to receive Christ into their lives.
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that crazy? And this past Wednesday at Remix, our student ministry, we had a baptism service where we had 23 students give their life to Christ, and 15 got baptized. Two of the students, Kevin and Kelvin, that he led to Christ, we were able to baptize right here 7 days after they gave their life to Christ. Is that not amazing? All because a teenager in school invited him to an opportunity to hear the greatest story ever told. And you think you have insecurities? Let me just tell you, adults, your insecurities are nothing compared to a teenager's insecurities. I mean, they're nothing. So the amount of fear that they had built up to invite this kid named Robert. They had no idea this would take place. You have no idea what's going to take place when you invite people to hear the greatest story ever told. Would you please give it up for Sergeant Robert? Good job. I also want to bring up one more family where the Jeffries come up. Where are the Jeffries? Would you make some noise for the Jeffries? Come on up. The Jeffries are an amazing family, and I'll let Chris introduce his family to you. They're missing one this weekend. They have an eighth grade daughter that's not here. She's out of town, but God has done amazing things in this family. Chris, would you just go ahead and introduce us to your family?
Over there is my daughter Haley, my son Joshua, my daughter Ashley, and my wife Brandy, and I'm Chris.
Awesome. Chris is one of our rockers. He is normally shredding on a guitar somewhere up on stage, and we love having him, so he's one of our musicians. Haley, this family several years ago had nothing to do with our church or anything, and Haley was invited to Remix, and I'll let you share just kind of briefly your story of how that kind of came about.
Okay, so I had never heard of Remix before. It was just like a church thing at my school, I heard about at school. And a friend invited me, and I ended up coming. And then that took place, and my sister came with me. So that's how we kind of got started.
And it was through one of the Remixes after you came that you heard the greatest story ever told and gave your life to Christ. Is that correct?
Actually, I gave my life to Christ at Adventure Week.
At Adventure Week.
Yeah.
So you heard the greatest story ever told at Adventure Week.
Yeah.
And then you came later on at Remix, and then your sister Skylar heard the greatest story ever told. She gives her life to Christ. And then who's next? And then Brandy, you start coming to fellowship. You hear the greatest story ever told, and you give your life to Christ. Is that correct? And then after that, Dad, you hear the greatest story ever told. You give your life to Christ. And then These two knuckleheads, they come to Adventure Week. I love them. They're awesome. They come to Adventure Week, our kids' camp over the summer, completely free. They hear the greatest story ever told. Both of you give your lives to Christ, correct? And so in a matter of years, the entire family hears the greatest story ever told, and it literally changes the entire family from A to Z. And as if that weren't enough, 2 weeks ago, Haley continues the story. Haley, tell us what happened 2 weeks ago.
Okay, we did a remix checklist, and it said whether you wanted to give your life to Christ or get baptized. And one of the girls checked that she wanted to give her life to Christ, so Dustin had me call her on the phone, and I prayed with her, and she received Christ right there.
So Haley, which I didn't mention, is one of our interns, and now she gets on the phone and leads another student to Christ and follows up with her and been connecting with her, which is phenomenal. And then her sister, Skylar, who's not here, led her friend to Christ after Remix this past week. And then Brandy, you invited your friend. Tell us about Rethink Pink and what happened there.
I invited my friend Claudia to Rethink Pink, and she was already a believer, but she came to Rethink Pink and made a decision to start a relationship with Christ, gave her life to Christ. And then just last week at Remix, her daughter gave her life to Christ as well, and the whole family's been coming to church here since then.
Yeah. All because somebody maybe I'll invite Haley. I'm going to invite Haley to Remix. What's that going to do? Change an entire family. Changed other families. Continuing to change families. Chris and Brandy are some of our top student ministry leaders, and they're just constantly serving, and it's absolutely phenomenal. Would you please give a big round of applause for the Jeffries family? Good job. Thank you. I absolutely love it. And I want to make sure that we're clear this morning. I'm not up here, Pastor Dustin, saying, hey, you need to invite your friends. It's easy. Why wouldn't you do it? It's comfortable. It's convenient. It's all that. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pretend. It's not always easy. It's not always convenient. It's not always comfortable. Never. It wasn't easy, convenient, or comfortable for Jesus to meet the woman at the well. Earlier, I showed you a picture of my pops, if we could get that back up. And what I didn't share with you was I didn't know anything about his faith. We didn't really talk about it much. I didn't really know where he stood when it came to his salvation, when it came to the greatest story ever told. And when I was a senior in high school, it just ate at me. I was just on fire for Jesus, and I just wanted my dad to know the greatest story ever told. I just didn't know if he knew that or not. But like I said, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. And for me at that time, some of the hardest people to share the greatest story with was the people that were closest to me. And I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but for me, that was the case. But this was the deal. I had an option. Do I let my fears, do I let my issues and all that take over? And for a little bit, I did. But then I kind of had that Popeye moment. I don't know if you know that Popeye moment where Popeye says, that's all I could stand, I can't stand no more, and he just blows up and he's got to do something. And that's kind of what happened to me. I kind of had that Popeye moment where I couldn't go to bed anymore crying. I couldn't just keep praying. I had to actually do something. So on Thanksgiving Day, 1998, we have all a bunch of family. It was horrible timing. I don't know what I was thinking. All of our family, we're all at like Wakiva State Park, about to cut the turkey and I just pull my pops aside and I say, hey, pops, can we talk? He's like, yeah, man, sure. And what you need to understand is my dad was the greatest guy I ever knew. There was no problem with him. He wasn't a horrible person, didn't do anything crazy. I mean, he was a great guy. I just didn't know where he stood with Jesus. And so we just started taking a long walk on a dirt road. It ended up being a little bit over an hour. And I just began to pour my heart out to him. And I remember just crying to my dad and just saying, Dad, I just want to share with you the greatest story ever told. I want to share with you this man named Jesus that I've met, and he's changed my life. And I said, I don't know if you've ever met Jesus. I don't know if you've heard about Jesus. And I said, this is hard to do, but it's harder me not knowing where you stand with Jesus. And we walked, and it must have been several miles. Both of us just crying. Both of them just hugging. And he just looked at me, and he never received that type of forgiveness from Jesus. He never heard the greatest story ever told. And in 1998, Thanksgiving Day, my dad went from looking like Jesus as just some Jew to looking at Jesus as the Savior of the world, the Savior of his world. And we could sit here and we could say, well, I don't know about my neighbors. I don't know about my coworkers. I don't know. But my prayer is that you don't sleep this week. My prayer is that you get that Popeye feeling and say, man, I don't want to wait any longer. I care about these people. I need to have this conversation. I want them to hear the greatest story ever told. And I'm just here to let you know that we're going to put that on a silver platter next week called Easter. And we're going to share in the best of our ability that we can the greatest story ever told. And my prayer is that you have divine appointments at the well this week. That you have divine appointments with, instead of walking around people, you go straight to the well knowing you're going to meet them. Maybe instead of getting to the office at 9, you're going to get in there right at 8:30 because you know that's going to have a conversation with so-and-so. Instead of just going into your garage, you're going to prop it open and you're going to wait till they go out to take their trash out and you're going to run out just in hopes that you'll have that conversation. That divine appointment. And in your seat, you have a little note and it has a spot for your name. And then names of people, one or more, or families, or anybody that you want to see experience the greatest story ever told. And what I'm going to ask you to do is this. I'm going to ask you to fill this out. This Thursday, our staff, we're getting together in this room, and we're going to lay these on every chair, and we're going to pray for them. And not only that, every single one filled out, you come and you're going to lay it right down here on the altar, and we're going to collect these, and I'm going to pray for every single name every single day until Easter. We're going to power this thing with prayer. We're going to try to set you up with the Holy Spirit to have divine appointments this week.